All right, listen, bitch. This is your March wake-up call. You've been playing small through the winter, but now it's time to shake off the frost and step into the raw power and potential that's been simmering inside of you all along. I am your host, Brandon Lynette, Christian mindset coach, best-selling author, and your fiercest new internet bestie slash cheerleader. And this is the Listen, Bitch podcast. Season 7 is all about unapologetically owning your worth, embracing the audacious vision God has for your life, and breaking through every barrier that has kept you stuck. If you're ready to ditch the hesitation, stop doubting your dreams, and start living the life that you were born to claim, you've landed in the right spot. Every week, we get into faith, mindset, and the no-nonsense truths that are going to help you ignite your next level. No fluff, no bullshit, no excuses. Just bold talk about stepping into your destiny as a human of purpose and power. March is here. It's time to stop tiptoeing around, babe. Get ready to rise up, show up, and make this your year of unshakable growth. Let's roll. This is Listen, Bitch, where faith meets fierce and you finally start unleashing your true potential. Hello, babies. Hello. Let me turn off my ringers here. I got squirrel brain today because it's again kind of late. I feel like every day that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get up early to record the podcast before the family's awake, that's the last thing that happens. So I'm just going to tell myself I'm sleeping in tomorrow and let come what may. Okay, let come what may. But today's podcast is a listener request, and it was a pretty detailed request. So bear with me because this gets a little in depth. I'm covering two of her topics in one episode, and I do appreciate. I just had a calling to ask her for a podcast episode. She's always tuning in, and I'm grateful. And I won't mention any names because I didn't ask permission if I could, for one, especially because this is a private situation. So maybe I'll get permission to give her a shout out later. But thank you for tuning in. Thank you for, spending your time with me and letting me be a part of your growth mindset, the potential of stepping into who you are. So the topic here is that there's a family member. Actually, I may as well just pull up my message so I could be very specific. Okay, so we're going into Messenger really fast. Obviously, if you're on the podcast, you have no idea what I'm doing right now. If you're on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, then you can obviously see me reaching for my phone. Okay. So she asked me, when I asked for the podcast episode topic, she said, how to cope with an adult child who has ghosted the family. This person is married with a child and doesn't have a job, comes home whenever he wants. Otherwise, like nobody has any idea where he's going or what he's doing. And obviously, they have their suspicions that it's nothing good out there. He is 40, so everyone is heartbroken. Mother, brothers, all of the family. And it's funny because she said, I hope you can give some good advice because I'm out of ideas of what I can do except pray and leave the situation to God. So at the end of the day, and part of another topic for her was knowing the boundaries and limits to help family and friends who are addicted to different things, like when do you stop? So we're going to package this up into one podcast episode. But I do think it's funny because, like, when you're out of ideas and the only idea you have is to pray and leave the situation to God, that's exactly where I'm taking this. Because at the end of the day, I'm in the mindset that if someone's going to ask me for advice, I'm going to give them the real deal of what I would do. And that is take it to God. That wouldn't be my last resort. That is absolute first and foremost where I would go. So that's kind of where we're going to start here. And you guys might feel like you're in church for a minute. And that's fine because maybe you need a little bit of church. I know I don't go, so I have to create my own energy here. But that's it. I can't pretend there's any other way around this but through it. And having God is going to give the entire family that strength. Like he's going to fight the battles for you. So everything that we talk about is going to come back to him. But I want you to understand that absolutely. It is understandable to feel lost. It's understandable to feel worried and helpless. Really, you're helpless. It's an adult. You can't force people, right? So all of the emotions that you and your family are experiencing are absolutely valid, and I want to make sure that you guys are honoring those feelings, okay? You have to honor the feelings of like, this is just fucked up. Like, we can't help him. We can't get to him. We can't force him. Like, your hands are tied, literally, okay? So before you really start to make sense of what's happening, before you really tune into this podcast, before you share it with the family, I want to make sure that you're really honoring those messy feelings. Okay. We're not trying to avoid it. We're not trying to skip them. This is part of the human experience. And sometimes it really sucks. And we know that. We know that sometimes it's going to suck, but sometimes it's really great. And if you can embrace the suck, God gets you through it. Okay. So the first thing that I want to say, is that release the control, the expectations, and really, really just trust in God's timing. Like, as a mom with a family, of course, 100%, it's natural to want to fix things and to protect your kid from harm, right? But this is the thing. And I'm learning this. Like, I'm experiencing this with older kids, you know? You can't control another person's choices, no matter how much we love them, okay? I can't force my 23-year-old to, you know, spend time with me. I can't force her to let me in this season of her life if she doesn't want me there. I can't force it. And I can't control her choices, even though I don't agree. You know, I think there are things, like, she's just missing things, and I can't force that on her, right? So I get the desire to want to do these things to protect them, but we can't control their choices. You know, this is where we are really called to trust in God and not lean into our own understanding. And that's what I've had to do. Okay. And that means you have to surrender the situation. So this should be step number one, is surrender the situation to God. Okay. And trusting that He's going to work in your family member's heart, no matter what. And I promise this does not make the situation easier in that moment, but I want you to see the possibility of peace, knowing that God sees what you see and He loves your family member even more than you do. Okay. Even more than you do. Like, He loves everybody, right? But that doesn't mean that everybody is going to seek Him out. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to get their shit together and get their house in order and find Him. It doesn't mean that everybody is going to acknowledge that Christ is King, okay? Releasing control is one of the most challenging and sometimes counterintuitive aspects of trusting God, especially in situations involving loved ones, okay? It is natural to want to fix things, to protect the people that we care about, but we are attempting to control it. We're adding stress. And we're hindering that trust in God's plan. So I want to give you some steps here to kind of gradually release the control and to just really trust in His timing. Okay. And that first thing is, and this is really hard. It's really hard because sometimes people go through shit so we can see our shit. Okay. Sometimes we're a part of people's mess so we can get a message too. Number one, you have to acknowledge your desire for control. So the first step in releasing control is to acknowledge that you want to control the situation. And this is not it's not a weakness. This does not make you weak, okay? This is a natural human instinct, especially when you love someone deeply and you want the best for them and you see other people getting hurt by their choices. You have to recognize your desire to control so you can begin to separate your actions from God's will. And you have to be gentle with yourself when you are in this realization because it is very humbling. It is very humbling. What it takes for me to surrender these days, I know that gut-wrenching feeling where you just know that it's going to take time, it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take you staying strong in the faith of who you are. You have to keep continuing to be you. You can't crawl in a hole and wait it out, okay? You surrender this, the whole situation, to God. And this doesn't have to be grand, eloquent, massive prayer circles, okay? Just honest, heartfelt moments where you can admit that you can't do this on your own. We're not meant to. So this is where you have to dump this on God, where you dump your worries, you dump your fears, you dump your frustrations, and you ask Him to take this from you. Cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. His words, not mine. Cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. You guys, I could not live my life the way I do if I could not wake up every day and hand off the shit I can't handle to God. That is what He's there for. And you have to think about, as much as you want to help your loved one, you could do nothing until He wants to help Himself. But guess what? If He was like, please help me, I'm suffering here, can you take some of this? Oh my God, as a parent, you're going to take it, right? That's how God feels, but you have to come to Him. He can't take it when you're not asking. Okay. So you have to surrender in prayer to Him. Every time you're feeling that anxious or that temptation to take control, you have to offer it up to God again. Every single time. And you'll be triggered a lot to do this. And every single time, it's going to be the same thing. Like, God can't take it from you if you're not putting it in his hands. And you have to trust in his timing and plan. And this is one of the most difficult aspects of releasing control, is trusting that his plan and timing are better than what you think, better than your own. We want that immediate answer. We want the immediate change. But God's perspective is infinitely broader than ours. Okay. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. We don't do it the same. That's why he's God, okay? You have to trust that he sees the bigger picture and has the purpose for everything, especially when we don't understand it. That is the key to releasing control. And you know what you're going to turn around and do is focus on what you can control. Sometimes releasing that control means shifting your focus to the things that you can influence. You can't control your child's choices. But you can control your responses. You can control your actions. You can control your mindset. And this has been a level of growth for me. Well, I can't control my kid. I can control myself. And I've learned. I've had to be gentle on myself because I mess up. You know, I've messed up. I'm learning the hard way. Okay. But it's still a lesson in everything. And her making her choices have given me another chance at new expansion. Because the only thing I control here is me. How can I learn? How can I grow from this? And I want you to ask yourself, what is in my control today? What is in my control today? Maybe it's setting healthy boundaries for your own well-being. When's the last time you really just took care of yourself? Maybe praying for wisdom in how you respond. When you focus on what you can control, it will help release the anxiety of feeling like you have to manage and micromanage everything. That'll drive you crazy. And I'm going to tell you this, you have to practice letting go of control in little steps, okay? Little steps. Releasing control is a process. It is not a one-time event. There is no magic wand. There's no snap your fingers and suddenly everything feels great. You have to start small. And maybe that means letting go of a situation that feels less important or that feels like something you don't need to intervene in, because gradually you can practice this in bigger areas of your life. Including with, you know, what's going on with your family member. But trust God little by little. This builds your faith that he's working even when you don't see the results immediately. You have to replace that worry with worship. That's it. Because if you're worrying, you cannot worry and have faith at the same time. Fear and faith cannot coexist. It's impossible. So instead of just hyper fixating on this and ruminating on it, I want you to turn your focus into just being grateful. Don't be anxious about anything in every situation. A prayer, petition, thanksgiving, present this to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding, it's going to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. This is a powerful tool to release control. It's centering your heart and your mind on God rather than the problems at hand. You ruminate and you keep these problems in your head and you keep spinning this wheel, you go nowhere. And the monster in your head just keeps getting bigger. And the desire for control just gets stronger, you know? And to release that control, you need support and encouragement. You have to surround yourself with a community of people, prayer warriors, you know, positive people, motivational people, people that inspire you, encourage you, people that are reminding you to trust God, worry about you stepping into your biggest potential. All of these things, find these people, find your community, share your struggle with a trusted friend or a mentor or someone who can help you navigate your feelings and keep you grounded. Maybe you need a therapist. That's fine too. Just find someone that is going to be a positive beacon of light in this process for you. Okay. Not someone that's like misery loves company, not someone who's going to sign up on your bullshit, not someone that's going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing this, and just wants to gossip and know the tea. I'm saying real people that are going to support you. Okay. Everybody likes tea. It's like a train wreck, right? The kids and I are at the mall today and there's a guy behind me in the cell phone store. The kids are playing on the little things with this man's kids, actually. And he's losing his mind. And I'm texting my husband. I'm like, oh my gosh, shit's going down. Security guards are coming. This guy's talking about someone's going to shoot him in his back. And like, I was frozen and I just kept listening and I wanted to record. I was one of those. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I want to record this. I did not record it. Okay. It was enough that we were staying there and I brought it into my awareness and I was like, okay, we're out. I don't need to hear this. It's not helping the situation. And I don't need the tea. I don't need to find out what happens. I don't need the drama. I don't need, you know, if this goes crazy, I definitely don't want to be here. So I told the kids, let's go. And my 10-year-old was like, wow, mom, I couldn't help but notice that. I was like, yeah, baby. She's like, you know, those were his kids we were playing with, right? I'm like, I know, baby. So there's always people that are going to be there to want the tea, right? To see what happens, not out of support. You know, I was not listening with a Christian heart. I was not listening in a way of like, man, can I help calm this guy down and see like what is the real issue here? Okay. It was a human moment. Okay. It was a human moment. And a lot of people do that. So it's very important that you are finding people that are going to support you and going to be encouraging, not that are just there for the train wreck and the tea. Okay. You have to trust that God is in control. And this is really about believing that God is sovereign and that he is actively working in your life and the lives of the people that you love. Okay. And this is the thing, we can pray for people that we love, and God is going to love them. And as much as he can, he's going to do what he can. But until someone comes to him, his hands are tied. I want to make that very clear. But be still and know that he is God. When we pause, practice that pause, and we acknowledge that he is God, you can recognize that you don't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. And when you surrender that control, you can embrace peace, and God will replace your anxiety with peace. Peace I leave with you, but peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled that he is working in ways that you can't see or understand. Everybody's mess can become a message. Okay. So we're not going to decide an outcome. We're not going to think we know everything. It's a matter of just having that faith and trust that things are going to work out better for people. No matter what happens, we're going to be okay. And releasing control is not about doing nothing. I want to make that clear. Okay. It's about trusting God to do what you cannot. I'm going to say that again. Okay. Releasing control is not about doing nothing. It is about trusting God to do what you cannot. This is about partnering with him. This is about co-creating with him, modeling faith through your actions, trusting his perfect plan. Even in situations that you're feeling powerless, God is still in control. Keep surrendering and keep trusting that he will guide you through any season. And you have to set these healthy boundaries. This was part two of this, of just like, how do we set the boundaries while showing grace and love? Set those boundaries to protect your peace and your mental health. Okay. Sometimes enabling a person's behavior by tolerating stuff like disrespect or neglect, it reinforces the unhealthy habits. If he can get away with it, he will. If he's allowed, he will. You have to set boundaries. That doesn't mean cutting off love, but it does mean drawing a line in terms of what is acceptable and what isn't. I mean, maybe this isn't a home where you could just come and go. It is a home where you're going to choose to be here and wake up every day and build, or I will love you from afar. You know, it's not fair that a wife is stuck raising a kid, not knowing when or if dad is going to show up. And there's a lot of trauma that can unfold there. So she needs to protect not just her peace, but her kid. And maybe there's a boundary there of just like, listen, I love you, but you need help. I love you, but this can't stay the same. We love you, but we cannot allow this behavior to continue. We can pray for you, we can support you, but we also need to take care of ourselves and the rest of the family. Setting boundaries sometimes means open the door for reflection in the person who has been pulling away. Set those boundaries, especially with someone who is struggling or making, you know, choices that are harmful. This is essential for maintaining, you know, just your own well-being and your own relationship with people. It's about finding that balance where you can still offer support and love without enabling behavior. You know, you have to define what you will and will not tolerate. That's it. And the first step in setting these boundaries is being clear about what is acceptable or what is not. Okay. Why are you guys in here, skedaddle? No. What is crossing the line for me? That's a question you should ask when you're setting boundaries. What behaviors are hurting me or others in my family? What is something I can live with even if it's uncomfortable? And these can be things like disrespectful language, dishonesty, failure to contribute to family responsibilities. Boundaries need to be clear and specific so both parties know where they stand. So if your adult child is not coming home, not communicating, we're drawing a line. We're drawing a line. And if it's not, you know, the doors are locked and this is not your home anymore, if you're not going to be here reasonably, Or, you know, maybe you need to set the boundaries of like, listen, just check in when you're not going to be here. We know that you want to do your thing, but we need to feel secure and know that you're safe. Set that boundary there. And you could communicate boundaries with love and clarity. When you're setting boundaries, it's important to communicate them calmly and just out of love, okay? Not anger, not control, just love. Express why the boundary is necessary. Necessary for just the health of the relationship and for your peace of mind. It's about saying, I love you and I want to support you, but when you don't communicate your whereabouts, it's causing a lot of worry and anxiety for us. So we need to draw the line where you're either going to inform us so we don't have to keep wondering or we're locking the door. Make sure it's respectful. It's not about controlling, not about punishing, but creating that healthy dynamic where everybody has an opportunity to thrive. You have to be consistent, okay? This is the important thing, especially if you're dealing with addiction. You have to be consistent, and they work when they're consistently enforced. But if you're setting boundaries and allowing it to be crossed without consequence, you're breaking the boundary and the message that you're trying to send. That's it. You have to follow through every time, and the boundary will be tested. You have to follow through. And that doesn't mean being harsh, but it does mean standing firm. You can shut the door, lock the door with love. Do not back down when your boundaries are crossed. This is a test for you. Can you stay strong in your boundaries? If this person is not going to respect the need for communication, that's it. If I don't hear from you by a certain time, I'll assume you're safe, but I will no longer, you know, leave the door locked up or unlocked and the locks are changed. It's important for me to have peace at night. It's important for me to have consistency with my kid. It's if you're consistently reinforcing this boundary, that's sending the message that you value your peace and you're not willing to let the behavior go unchecked. Everyone has to take massive responsibility. And it's not on you whether or not people do. Okay. And it's very important you say that you know, I'm here if you need help finding solution, if you need some help. You know, let's get your mental health checked. Let's find a rehab, whatever that takes. But at the end of the day, you have to make it clear that you cannot do this for them. And you have to make it clear that you know you cannot do this for them. They are capable of making choices just like you're capable of making choices. We don't make excuses for that. We're not going to blame ourselves. Well, it's my fault he's here. No, it's not. There is an adult making a choice, and you are not responsible for that. We are all responsible for making our own choices and facing the consequences of those choices. This is the thing. I had a shitty childhood, okay? And I do not blame any mistakes I've ever made on anyone but myself. I take the massive responsibility. And no matter what has happened with my kids, I take the massive responsibility. I apologize. I offer, you know, every opportunity of growing. Like, how can I help you grow through this? How can I help you through the healing? I did this. I fucked up. I'm sorry. And in turn, whatever choices they make, they don't get to turn around and blame me. Just like I don't get to take all the credit for how amazing they are. They're making their own choices. Young adults, they're making their own choices. I can cheer them on. I can support them. I don't get to take responsibility any more than they can ever blame. We're all responsible for making our choices. We're all responsible for facing the consequences of those choices. Make it clear to this person that you're going to pray for them and that you can believe that that you believe that they'll figure this out. It's absolutely okay for both things to be true, that you care that you're available, but you're not going to put up with bullshit, and you expect personal responsibility to be taken. You have to recognize and address that enabling behavior. That's when you're taking on that responsibility for someone else's actions. It's going to be to the detriment of your own well-being and theirs. It might look like bailing someone out of, you know, trouble over and over and over, making excuses for their behavior or covering for them when they don't take responsibility. You have to stop doing that. Ask yourself if your actions are helping the person become more independent or if they're inadvertently helping them avoid the consequences of their behavior. Healthy boundaries does not mean allowing other people to take advantage of you while still showing love and support. Okay. Like, you know, if you're dealing with your kid isn't working, but they're asking for money, instead of giving them money, you know, just say, I can't give you money, but I'll help you figure out ways to create your own income stream. help you get a job. I'll give you a ride to your job. Offer support, but don't enable irresponsible behavior. There's no reason that, you know, a grown adult with a wife and a kid shouldn't have a job. And somehow, somewhere, he's getting the means to get by. Everybody in this situation has to take massive responsibility. And you've got to allow the natural consequences. Part of setting that healthy boundary is recognizing that sometimes the most loving thing that you can do is allow the person to experience the consequence of their actions. And I know this is hard, especially because you're going to see them struggling. You're going to hear every excuse. They're going to blame you. They're going to lash out. And you're going to have this little part of you that feels like, yes, you're right. I suck. And you're going to beat yourself up. And then you're going to want to cave, but you can't. You have to allow the natural consequences, because this is how we lead to the growth. And that's how we get to that self-reflection. That's it. Allow them to experience that discomfort or the isolation that's going to come from their behavior. Allow that. Boundary set, doors are locked. You have to take care of yourself when you're setting these boundaries. You have to make sure that you are emotionally aware, emotionally mature, that you are keeping yourself in check, okay? Because it's not just about their behavior. But boundaries are about really honestly maintaining your own well-being. So set the boundaries. This allows you to protect your emotional and mental and physical health. You cannot pour from an empty cup. I know you guys have heard this all the time. You cannot do it. So prioritize your needs by taking time for yourself. Set limits on how much you're willing to give emotionally. You have to ensure that you are not sacrificing your own peace for the sake of someone else. And listen, be prepared for pushback, because when you set boundaries, especially with someone who is used to being able to push your limits, it's not going to be well received. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be guilt tripping, and they're going to make you feel bad for setting boundaries. But you have to remember that they're not about being harsh. It's about creating a healthy environment. This is love. You're standing in love. It is not love when we're signing off on people's bullshit. That is not love. So stand firm in love and remember that you are not responsible for their emotions and you are not responsible for their reactions. You got to continue to pray for that strength and wisdom, okay? I'm telling you guys, I don't think that this is possible without God, and not as the last resort. I mean, this is the first resort. You need the strength and wisdom to be able to not just set, but enforce boundaries, okay? I feel like it is important that, you know, anyone in our family needs to contribute. That's everybody in anybody's family. There has to be people that contribute, okay? It is not healthy to not take responsibilities or have responsibilities or contribute in a family, okay? Bless and release. I love you. I want the best for you, but it's not okay for you to continue making choices that hurt yourself and other people. You are welcome to live here, but there are rules we all must follow. Like contribute. Be home. Co-parent. Get a job. Pay bills. Do chores. Make the boundary clear and reasonable, showing love while not enabling the behavior that is unhealthy for either party. And it is not as serious as a grown married man with a child not being around. But I do have issues with my oldest living here and not contributing. And we had the conversation last week. You know, this is a family. We all contribute. I'm never home. Well, you are enough to know that you take up space in the house and we're still a family and you got to contribute. You got to contribute. Especially if you are not paying rent and you're not paying bills and, you know, you have all the freedom in the world. There is a normal, healthy contribution to be made in the home. This requires a lot of prayer, a lot of clarity, a lot of consistency, and a lot of courage. Okay. I know it's hard, but absolutely for the greater good, for your loved one and your entire family. And this has to be like loving but firm communication. When the time is right, have the conversation. When he's home again, have the conversation. Approach it with love, not confrontation, okay? Express your concern and affirm your love at the same time. Let it be genuine. Hold fast to what is good. Speaking the truth in love is key. Not signing off on bullshit. Speaking the truth. Share your heart, but be mindful that they may not be ready to hear it. So we want to be gentle but firm. Boundaries. Having this conversation, especially with a family member, a child, it requires a balance of compassion and clarity and assertiveness. Trust me, I've blown it on this. I had the conversation a while back and it sure wasn't like, please contribute to the family. It was not a good reaction. And I just caused more pain for her and myself because it was not a good reaction. It wasn't a loving, firm reaction. I did not bring it to God. I brought it in my sense of control. I brought it in my humanness of like, how can I control this? I did not bring it to God, which is what's it's making me so confident in this conversation that we're having today to tell you that God is not the last step. He is the first step. You want to have this conversation and maintain that respectful tone. You want to be clear about your expectation, your boundaries. Take time to pray for that, for the wisdom, the clarity, the patience, the grace. You know, ask for words that are loving but clear, and ask that your heart can stay open to God's direction. And timing and environment are key. If this is someone who is using and is in active addiction or whatever this looks like, obviously you're not going to do it when they're high as a kite or drunk off their rocker, okay? You want to make sure that there is an open time and good mental space. And if this is someone that is really struggling with mental health, then you have an even harder decision to make. A harder decision to make. It may not be rehab. It may be, you know, getting some help at an institution. You have to find a setting where you can speak privately. And you want to make sure when you have this conversation that emotions are not running high, and make sure that you're not in a public situation. Okay. Got to be calm. You got to be grounded before you're having the conversation. You got to breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. Okay. You want to be centered. You want to be grounded. If you start to feel anger or frustration, and a lot of times when we're hurt, that's coming out as anger. It always comes out as anger. So you need to deal with your feelings. You're going to need to deal with your feelings before this conversation. So I want you to have some time for yourself to navigate, you know, your issues. My son is texting me right now and I just saw that it says he's going to Washington, D.C. What? I turned my phone off, but they're still popping up on my screen. Interesting. But, you know, if you're feeling this stuff start to fester and this stuff start to come up, you've got to pause. Okay. Always practice the pause and gather your thoughts. Come back to your center space, because a calm demeanor, if you're calm, you set the tone and the person across from you is going to feel safe and okay. And obviously you're going to start with, you know, affirmation and love. You want to affirm like, I love you. I care for you. And we don't say, but I love you and I care for you and I'm worried. You want to approach this with that empathy and that compassion, showing that your intentions come from a place of care, not criticism. We're coming without judgment. We're coming without judgment. And you want to let them know, look, I understand you. I understand. I love you unconditionally. I just want you to see that certain behaviors need to change for the well-being of everybody involved. Everybody. I want you to know that I love you so much and nothing will ever change that. It is breaking my heart to see you struggle because I care so much about you and your future. Be direct. Be clear. Be honest, straightforward about what is bothering you, but do this without accusing. Use I statements. It's not like you're doing this to our family. You're making me feel like this. No. How do you feel? I feel very worried. I feel very uneasy. I don't feel very certain about the future. Speak from your heart, not accusing, not blaming. I statements to express your feelings. I statements to express your needs. I need to set some boundaries. I need to know that if you're not coming home anymore, I'm changing the locks. I need to know if you want to be here, that you're going to commit to being here and showing up. getting mental help or getting sober or whatever that's going to look like for that boundary. I don't know the specifics on that. But as long as you're using I statements, it prevents that person from feeling like the conversation is an attack, and it stays on the focus of the behavior, not the person. Okay? Because obviously, you guys, come on, the behavior doesn't have to define who this person is. There's something going on. There's something going on. We have to hold them to that, you know? Express your concern about the lack of communication about whereabouts, all the worry and uncertainty, you know, leaving a mama worrying about how to provide for her kid and raise her kid by herself, not just as a wife, but a mom knowing that her son is doing this. I can't imagine. It's gutting. It's not healthy for anyone. Explain the impact of the behavior. Help them understand the impact of their actions and be clear about how it's affecting the family and why it's important for them to make the changes. This helps people see things from your perspective, and that's going to encourage them maybe to reflect on their own actions. Nobody needs to live in fear of not knowing what's coming in your immediate family. I couldn't imagine not knowing if my husband was going to come home every night. That keeps you in a fight or flight, and it's going to age you really fast. You're going to get sick. Explain the issue and set your boundaries. Be specific about what you need and what you're not going to tolerate and follow through. Be consistent. Offer support. Sometimes it really is just about offering support, especially if we don't know what's at the bottom of this. Avoid jumping in with solutions immediately or taking over their responsibilities, like empower them to take the responsibility for their own choices and actions. That's going to reinforce your belief in their ability to make the changes, to make healthy boundaries. Is that trust broken? It's time to repair it. Like, listen, the whole family is here to support you if you need help, but nobody can do this for you. You have the ability to make good choices. I believe you can find the solutions that are going to work for you. And be ready for the pushback. They're going to be defensive, shifting that brain blame, expressing the boundary, expressing the anger. And it's just a matter of coming back with, look, I understand it's hard to hear. I know you're feeling frustrated. I am not here to fight with you, but I need to be clear about what's best for all of us. I love you. I want to see you thriving, not struggling. Listen, validate their feelings. Don't take it personal. Give them space to share their perspective. This is where I fucked up with my oldest, is that I didn't listen. I didn't validate feelings. I was defensive. I wanted solutions, not just listen. And so I've had to reroute, recalculate, bring it to God. I have to listen. I have to validate the feelings. And that's absolutely fair. Give them space to share their perspective, even if it's hard to hear. Don't take it personal. If you listen actively and you validate their feelings, that shows that there's respect and it shows that you care about what they're going through. You don't have to agree with everything they say, but you can validate the emotions always. You can validate emotions. That doesn't mean we have to validate and sign off on behavior, okay? I can hear that you're frustrated. I can understand this isn't easy for you. I want to make sure we're on the same page and I respect where you're coming from. And when you have these conversations, reaffirm your love and willingness to support them, even though the boundaries have been set. End it on a positive note. Let them know, like, I'm still here for you when you're ready to do this. It's kind of how God works in our life. He's always going to be there for you, but you have to be ready to do it. And even if you don't, he's not going to chase you. He'll never chase you. We're not out there chasing people. We're going to stay where we need to be in a place that serves us and our potential. And anybody who is ready to be the same, to do the same, to step into their potential, will be here to help always. Ensure that the relationship can stay intact by showing that you're still there for them when they're ready. I love you no matter what happens. I will always be here for you. I'm praying for you and I trust things will get better. I just need to know that we're willing to respect each other and our relationship. It's all about truth and love. And you're not going to see immediate results from your efforts or prayers, okay? I just don't see that happening. Is it impossible? No. So I guess let's just say, let's prepare for the fact that you may not see immediate results from your efforts or prayers, but God works in his own time. Your job in this moment is to model the grace, the patience, and forgiveness, not just with your loved one, but within yourself, okay? That's it. Continued prayer and love, even from a distance. This is huge. It's huge. And that's demonstrating, you know, the love of Christ in your relationships. And that's going to create that atmosphere where healing can actually take place. That's it. And grace is an unmerited favor. Like, God gives us grace when we don't deserve it. So modeling grace, I guess, just means, you know, showing kindness, understanding, compassion, even when someone hasn't earned it, or maybe when their actions are just completely difficult to accept. It's us just knowing that we can respond with kindness, not judgment. When someone fucks up or someone hurts you, resist the urge to criticize or punish them. Try to respond with that empathy. Remember that we are all flawed. All of us, every single one of us. And there's some Karen right now talking about, you're talking about God and you just said, fuck, you are the devil. Listen, we all need God's grace, okay? Everyone is flawed. Everyone is flawed. And sometimes, yes, we're going to be disappointed by people's choices, but we can still love them and we can still believe that they could do better. Give people space to grow. Grace means giving people room to make mistakes and learn. I'm never going to agree with anyone's decisions all of the time. But I can allow the freedom to grow without condemnation. That is pure grace. And pray for people even when their actions cause you pain. I have spent more time praying for my enemies because I want that heart of Christ. Does it always come out? No. Obviously, in the mall, you saw the little human in me. Okay. I always want the chance to have a heart like Christ, you know? So the minute I start getting bothered by someone or thinking ill of someone, I just immediately start praying. And finding the gratitude in whatever lesson I need to learn in that moment of like, why am I triggered? You have to pray so that God can work in their heart in ways that you cannot control. And when in doubt, you have to choose to believe the best in someone. I'm here because people have literally believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. Really. Not just my husband, but mentors and friends and strangers on the internet believing in me, believing in the best in me, even when I would see the worst in me. Grace doesn't assume the worst. It seeks understanding and compassion. Even when we're going through the hard shit, even in the arena, getting our ass kicked. So we're going to wait. We're going to set our boundaries. We're going to communicate effectively what our boundaries are. And we're going to be patient. We're going to wait without getting frustrated or upset. We're going to wait and be patient even when things are not happening according to our desired timeline. Because this is crucial. When you're dealing with a situation where there is no immediate solution or change, especially in relationships, you can't rush the process. Growth and change and healing all take time. Don't expect the immediate fix, and you have to be patient with the process. Nobody really changes overnight, but patience will help you support them and yourself through their journey. And tensions are going to rise. You've got to keep your cool. You cannot be reactive. You cannot act impulsively, okay? You have to pause and choose to respond thoughtfully. Because when our emotions are high, this is, again, I'm going to tell you, practice the pause, and there will be moments that it's going to be hot. Practice the pause. Take a step back before you say another word. And you have to be consistent in everything you're doing, your love and support. Even when you're challenged, their behavior is going to challenge you. You've still got to show them love and care. It means continuing to be there for them, even when things are tough or certain. Now, did I say it means breaking down all your boundary walls? No. No. It means being patient. That's the kind of love you are called to demonstrate right now. Accept the fact everything is going to be imperfect. This is realizing that no one is perfect and we all make mistakes. And maybe you'll never understand the kind of mistake that this person made. And bless you for never understanding that. But it doesn't mean that they don't have a chance to turn it around. Everybody messes up. We are here because Christ has called us to a new life. That means like we made the mistakes. We messed up. We're going to change our life. Okay. That's like someone, you know, going out and, you know, committing murder. Like you want to go to prison and get saved, absolutely. That means you're calling yourself to a changed life. You don't get out of prison and then go kill a bunch of people again. That's not the changed life. Right? That was a very dramatic turn, wasn't it? That's my squirrel brain. That's my very neuro spicy brain. Very dark turn. My point is changed life. Okay. That's what we're here for. We mess up, but people are going to slip up on the way. Keep offering that grace. If you see them trying, if you see them making the little efforts, offer grace and continue to be patient. You have to understand that change, honestly, genuinely takes time. And forgiveness is probably the biggest thing in this situation. You got to model forgiveness. It's like the most powerful expression of love. Okay. And forgiveness is the thing that freed me from my demons, literally. Not just forgiving myself, but forgiving everybody in my life that has hurt me. And I didn't get the apologies. I didn't get the apologies, but I forgave a lot of people that fucked me up in my life. That let me down as a kid, you know. I forgave them, and that was my freedom. I got to release a lot of ugly shit inside of myself. I'm telling you right now, forgiveness is the most powerful expression of love, and we're commanded to do it, just as Christ has forgiven us. And it doesn't mean we're condoning the behavior. Doesn't mean we're signing off on the bullshit. Okay, it means we're freeing ourselves and the person that we forgive from the burden of resentment and anger. That doesn't mean that the demons haunting the people that hurt me, if they didn't get themselves right, those demons are with them. That's not my problem. But I know I've forgiven him, so I don't carry the resentment and anger. They could deal with their own demons on the other side. That's not my business. You have to, letting go of resentment is a choice. And that's it. Forgiveness starts with a decision to let go of that anger, to let go of that bitterness. It doesn't mean forgetting about the offense, but we're choosing not to hold it in our hearts. We can acknowledge the hurt, but choose to release it. Choosing to release it and asking God for healing. That's how we move forward. Let Him heal your heart. We're supposed to be kind to one another. We're supposed to forgive one another like Christ forgave us. And you have to forgive even without the apology. A lot of people will go through life and they won't have anybody ask for forgiveness. They may not even realize they've hurt you. And true forgiveness is not dependent on the other person's actions, but it's on your willingness to release them and allow God to work. And this is so important in situations, especially with adult children, because they will not recognize the pain they cause. I guarantee my daughter does not know the wound she has put on my heart. She will not know. I don't want her to have that realization because I think it would take her breath away. I don't want her to know. I forgive her and I will never ask for an apology ever. I never expect it. I would never require it. I don't need to rub it in her face that, it happened. Pray for that forgiving heart. Ask God to help you forgive even when it feels difficult. And literally, praying about this will soften your heart immediately. And it makes it easier to let go of the grudges, but you have to have that willingness. And this means, like, if you're going to forgive people, we're not going to get back at them. We're not trying to get even, okay? We're going to act in ways that demonstrate that forgiveness. Like maybe even kind words. I had you guys, if you have read Once Upon a Time Bitches, you know that I had issues with my mom and I forgave her before I ever asked her, before I ever had a conversation with her. I forgave her. And we started talking again a year or two back and we had a heavy conversation and I just let her know I forgive her. She didn't even have to say sorry. A sorry wouldn't change anything because I've already let it go. Let go of the past hurts that you hold against people and set the boundaries. It doesn't mean we're tolerating the destructive behavior. We're forgiving while we're setting boundaries to protect ourselves from being hurt again. You forgive a loved one from their behavior, but set the boundaries around what you will and will not accept going forward. We're going for the fruit of the spirit, baby. That's how we're going to model grace and patience and forgiveness. Seek the guidance, literally. You can be really disappointed in someone that broke a promise, but you can still reaffirm that you love them and believe in their ability to do better next time. Patience, I know it's not easy to change habits and I understand it's going to take time. I'm here to support you as you grow. And the requirement for that is to be open and honest with me. I forgive you for breaking your promise. It hurt. I'm hurt, but I don't want to hold this against you. Let's work together to make sure we can trust each other going forward. That's it. In this situation, in every situation, I don't care what you're going through right now. We want to reflect God's love and mercy in everything we do. And it's not always easy. We're not going to sign off on delusions. We're not going to sign off on BS. My spicy ring wanted to get political right now and it didn't. I bit my tongue. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. We want to model grace and patience and forgiveness, but we're not going to live in delusion. We're going to be open, honest, in reality about what people need. I mean, we're here for practical support, okay? And maybe he's not seeking help right now. Offer opportunities for connection. And like sometimes people who push people away, they're doing it out of shame or guilt or like other emotional burdens. If it's not mental health, if it's not drugs, then it could be other emotional burdens. So we can't force help, but we also can't completely withdraw. Maybe they need to know you're there for them when they're ready to reach out. We want to offer practical support, like helping someone in a way that's like tangible and actionable, you know, meet their immediate needs or challenges in a way that shows love and care and concern without signing off on the bullshit. It goes beyond offering the words of encouragement, but doing things, you know, like the listening without judgment. If it is emotions, being able to listen without judgment. I mean, there's a million things that what ifs that we could come up with, but until you have the conversation of, you know, let's get to the bottom of this, until you're all real with yourselves and everybody, with each other and with this person, there is no moving forward. You have to get to the bottom line of like, why is he ghosting everyone? And figure out how you can support him through there. You know, sometimes practical support really just is like time and attention. You know, maybe they are just so far gone and lost that they feel disconnected. They just need someone to spend time with them, like go for the walk, just like reality things, like rein them back in. I don't know what that looks like. Setting those healthy boundaries. Finding support for yourself is important as well. Like whatever you can do to find a community that's going to support you through this and not sign up on the bullshit. And again, people that aren't there for the tea. You want to balance that tough love and compassion, okay? So we're trying to approach conversations with empathy, but be firm and clear. It's all a lot of stuff, okay? So you have to prepare yourself for all of this. Before you approach this person, it's about praying for the guidance. And you've got to check your emotions. You have to be sure that you're coming from a place of care and not frustration. I cannot emphasize this enough. Your tone and body language are going to have a huge impact on how everything is received. You have to choose the right time and the right setting. That's very important. Very, very, very important. That compassionate concern, all very, 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 very important. And just being able to offer that support, but respecting your boundaries at the same time is key. This is not going to be easy. It's all about tough love, being clear and firm about the importance of getting help, never making someone feel shamed or unsupported. And compassion, being able to express your concern, helping them feel heard and valued and understood, and respecting and supporting, allowing them to take their time in deciding, but knowing that they have to take their own step to healing. At the end of the day, there is a part of you that just has to release. It's bless and release. You have to release someone who genuinely doesn't want the help, and it's going to be the most painful and difficult actions to take, especially if you care really, really deeply about them. And releasing them doesn't mean you stop caring about them or you stop praying for them. It's about recognizing that ultimately you cannot change someone's heart or force them to seek the help that they need. And this is that moment of letting go with grace and trusting God with the journey. And I'm gutted for you if this is where you have to go, because it's not going to be easy. You cannot control or fix someone's life or life decisions. You can offer support. You can offer encouragement. You cannot make them take the step towards change. Acknowledge your limits, okay? You need to pray for the wisdom to know when it's time to step back and to continue supporting them. We are not called to control other people. You have to trust God with this. And if someone doesn't want help, it's even more crucial and critical to establish those clear and healthy boundaries for your own emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. Okay? This boundaries allow you to still love this person without enabling them. You're not enabling destructive behavior. You're not sacrificing your own peace, and you have to set those limits. You set the limits on how much you're willing to give, offer, how much you're willing to endure in this relationship. And you have to make it clear that while you love them, you cannot be a part of enabling the behaviors that hurt other people around you. Encourage and pray and guide, but the decision is theirs, and you have to acknowledge that and let go of that control. You have to trust that as long as you're praying, God is working in their life, even if you don't see it. You have to pray for the peace and pray for the trust, and you have to let go of the desire to fix this person or their circumstances. God will work in their heart when and if the time is right. And when you speak to them, please communicate your love, but also express the need for them to take massive fucking responsibility of their choices. You might say something like, I love you and I want the best for you. But if you're not ready for help, I can't carry the burden of the situation. Okay. I have to step back and allow you to make your own decisions. I'm going to say that one more time. When you speak, please communicate your love, but also express the need for them to take massive responsibility of their choices. I love you. I want the best for you. If you're not ready for help, I cannot continue to carry the burden of the situation. I have to step back and allow you to make your own decisions. And you can say this and make sure they know that you're still there for them in a very loving way without enabling their harmful patterns. You can say, I'll always love you. I will be here if you ever choose to reach out for help. In this moment, I cannot continue to be a part of this cycle right now. And you give them the space to make their own choices. Release them. I know this is heavy. Release them. Allow them to experience the consequences of their choices. And that doesn't mean you stop praying. Remember that, okay? It doesn't mean that you stop praying. Never cease. You don't stop caring. But you trust them to make their own decisions, even if they're going to be painful or they lead to negative consequences, okay? I have a friend that his son just got out of prison and is living at home and has a problem with drugs. And I very much love and respect that he knows that if his son chooses, he's 40 years old, if he chooses to go out and use, that is not his responsibility. And he does things, he has boundaries, so he's not enabling that. There are rules. But he knows that if something happens, that burden is not on him. And you have to be able to do the same for you in this moment. You are not responsible for a loved one going out and doing something reckless. They're making choices. No matter what their emotions might say to you in the heat of the moment or anything otherwise, it is not your responsibility. You have to allow people to grow through their own shit, even if it's hard to watch. And sometimes people need to reach a point where they realize on their own that they need help. Like your presence and support can still be offered, but from a distance that recognizes their freedom. Okay? Because they have to choose this. They have to choose this. It is not our timing. And releasing someone doesn't mean that, you know, you're neglecting your own well-being. So please make sure you are taking care of this yourself. Like seek that support, whether you have to go to counseling or talk to other people or tune into this podcast episode to process the situation. Want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you are not overwhelmed and depleted by other people's choices, you know? And releasing someone who doesn't want help is an act of love and trust. It's about recognizing that while you can offer guidance and you can offer encouragement and you can pray, ultimately, the choice is theirs, and you have to trust God's sovereignty in this situation. Set those boundaries. Keep praying. God's grace is always at work, even when we can't see it. Like his timing is perfect. And if you can release someone in love, you allow God to move in their heart in his own way, in his own time. I know it's going to be painful to watch someone you love make decisions that will hurt themselves and other people. You have to remember that God is in control. His ways are not our ways. And sometimes it is absolutely through those darkest moments that we find God's grace in the most profound ways. There's a message in the mess. Keep praying, keep loving, but keep trusting that God can reach your family member in a way that you cannot. And your prayers are powerful. Like, that's the seed of God's truth and love. Love can break through even the hardest of hearts, really, really. So this was a heavy conversation, wasn't it? It was really a heavy conversation. I love you guys. I hope that this episode spoke to you. I hope that it can help, especially the person that requested it, if anything, anyone else as well, because I think a lot of people are struggling through shit that we don't talk about, right? A lot of people are going through shit we don't talk about. So hopefully this is one of those topics and I gave you some peace in this and I put you in the right direction, because listen, bitch, God is not the last step. He was the first. It's everything has to go through him. And every single day I wake up, that just gets it. That feeling and that knowing just keeps growing stronger in me. And it's probably because I have committed to reading the Bible every day and, you know, doing the Bible study class, all that stuff. It's incredible, but we don't have to do this alone. We're not meant to go at it alone. Okay. That's it for today's Listen Bitch podcast, bitches. You've got the spark, the faith, and now it is time to take that March momentum and charge. No more hiding, no more playing it safe. It's time to step into the fierce, purpose-driven human that God is shaping you to be. This is your month to break ground and build something unstoppable. Make sure you guys are signed up for emails at brandonlynette.com. They're in full effect. Check your spam folder. I sent out some links yesterday. If you want to see my podcast episode on YouTube, I'll be sending those links out as well. So brandonlynette.com, sign up. Okay. We're going to, come back here to the next episode for some more truth and transformation. Until then, rise up, show up, and own it, babe. This is Brandon Lynette signing off. Let's make this March your launchpad to legendary.